Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to make our way through the beginning, the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived right there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them, put them on whatever device you have that makes it work. You can also, at our website at renewalministries.net, you can just download our app, the Renewal Ministries app, which allows you to have access to the programs anytime, night or day. These programs heard around the country, for the most part, very early in the morning. But if you have the app, you can just listen to them at your convenience. While you're there, feel free to browse the website. There's a lot of really good and I think inspiring stuff there that's free for the taking. Our TV shows, our other radio shows, Sister Anne's show, Food for the Journey, as well as our newsletter, our missions reports, books, booklets, and things like that. So, friends, we need to continue to feed our mind in a time, especially in a time that we're living through. The world is a confused place. And it always is, but it seems to be more so these days. But the church itself is a confused place in some places. And so it's important for us to lay hold of the biblical truth that we're given, the clarity of the teaching of the catechism, and just find the sources of Catholic truth out there that can feed your spirit. There's a lot of good Catholic Bible studies that are available. You can get online. Those can be very helpful. Seeking Truth in Omaha, Catholic Way Bible Study in Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, and others. So do what you can to feed your mind, to feed your spirit, because it'll really make a difference. It's like we're living daily in a battle, in a spiritual struggle. And in the first part of this letter to the Thessalonians, Paul's now going to recognize the trials and the afflictions that these brothers and sisters are living through, having heard the gospel and having given their lives to the Lord. And now they're in this small band of new Christians, and the lifestyle they're living is radically different than the lifestyle of people around them. And they no longer bend the knee to idols and the kinds of things that many were really forced to do throughout the Roman Empire. I mean, sense of everybody acknowledged and played along with the game that somehow the emperor was God or was a god, and they had to offer him incense and acknowledge him. It was the emperor cult that kind of made the whole Roman government and who was behind it much more significant than in reality what it was. I mean, it was a very, certainly Rome was, the government of Rome and its extension in the world was huge and it was impactful and it was big and it had its place, but the emperor was not God. And so Christians knew that. Why? Because they knew God. They knew God who came in the flesh in Jesus, and they experienced him, as Paul said. And we ended with this line from verse 5 of the first chapter, when Paul says, "For our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." That the gospel is a living word. In particular, he's talking about the gospel is the kerygma. The kerygma is the declaration, the proclamation of the basic truth of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us. And it's summarized in places like Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, where Peter, he stands up and he begins to declare that the Holy Spirit, you know, had come upon them in that day. But he went on to say, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God had sent his son in Jesus, that they had, you know, the leaders and others had refused to hear his words, that they crucified him, and that he died, but death could not hold him down. And Jesus broke the chains of death. And that means he conquered sin's power that's at work in fallen human nature. He became one of us so he could destroy it. Peter was so clear. Death could not hold him down. And he said, what is this all about? This coming of Jesus, this one who we know because we saw with our own eyes and we touched with our own hands that he passed from death to life. It vindicated everything that he taught. And Peter, in that moment, on the day of Pentecost, said, what you're seeing, that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on the apostles that day, and speaking in languages that people could hear that were not the native tongue of the apostles. They heard the gospel proclaimed in their own language. There were signs of God's presence everywhere in that moment. And they're asking, what's going on? What happened? And Peter said, what's happened is that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, has conquered death, and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. and now he reigns in glory. And Peter said, God has made this Jesus, this Christ, he's Lord and Christ, which means all authority in heaven and earth belong to him. All of human history is now in the hands of God. That's in his hands. And he's been given full authority to be judge of the living and the dead. Jesus is the standard and the determiner of what's right, what's true, what's good, and what's just. He will declare what's good and what's true. Not me, not you, not the powerful in the world. We can all pretend we do that. We can all play games as if we're the arbiter, we're the origin of morality in our own lives. It's not true. What you might call true, what you might call good, what you might call just, if it's not good, true, and just in God's eyes, then it isn't what you call it, what you're calling it. It's an illusion that you're living in. Everyone will come under, ultimately, the lordship and the authority and the final judgment of Jesus, the Son of God. He's going to expose the condition of every human heart. He will shine his light into us, and what we did with our lives, what we chose to become, whether we said yes to his call and his command that we love God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that means following his commands, not ours, not becoming the determiner if we're going to follow this one or that one, but we sell out for God like Jesus did. We give our entire lives to him in faith, hope, and love. We surrender to him, and our life becomes a walking by the Spirit and yielding in this new power that Paul's identifying in the Holy Spirit, desiring God's will more and more every day and fighting through the obstacles to saying yes to that. So Peter's saying he's the Lord. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. He's established his kingdom. And he's the Christ pouring out his Holy Spirit. So Peter's saying today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to say yes to the full revelation of Jesus in our lives and surrender totally to him. The people said, well, how do we do that? And Peter said, repent. That means change the direction of your life. Turn all your heart, soul, mind, and strength now to the Lord and receive his truth. And he said, repent, acknowledge your sin, be baptized so that your sins may be forgiven and you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you become a temple of God. You become a child of God. And the new creation begins in you at that time. And so this is what is meant by the basic kerygma, the basic preaching of the good news and the gospel. And this is the message that the Holy Spirit wants to back. This is the one that when it goes out, the Holy Spirit empowers it. I have no capacity to move your heart on my own strength at any level that, in terms of spiritual transformation. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And you're saying yes to whatever prompting the Holy Spirit gives as you listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Paul says in another one of his letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In Corinth, they were known for their public debates. There were lots of, you know, philosophers, debaters, and others present who would debate Paul on occasion. Sometimes they're quite eloquent. They're professionals, some of them. And they would win people by their power of their argument or their persuasiveness, their personality, how clever they are. And Paul says, look, I didn't come to you to be clever. I didn't come to you with highfalutin words of wisdom. I came to you in weakness and in humility. And I simply presented to you the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation, the truth about Christ, who is alone the way, the truth, and the life, and the only Savior of the world. And he said, his word was backed by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what happens. Paul's saying it again to the Thessalonians. Peter talks about it in his letters, and we see it in the Acts of the Apostles, that it's that there's a confirming action of the Holy Spirit when the gospel about Jesus is proclaimed. And people are called to make a decision. Look, friends, it's a new day. Jesus Christ has passed from death to life. He's risen from the dead. God's only Son has come to save us. He died on a cross through the shedding of his blood to cleanse you, to make it possible for you to have your sins forgiven, and for you too to conquer death, for you too to pass from death to life, but to pass from death to life in him, through his grace, through his power, by saying yes to him and repenting of your sins and being baptized into him. And in that baptism, you're put to death. The old man in you is put to death. It's judged. And the new man, the new creation that's in you, comes to life. And God begins his work, his saving work that he'll complete in you when he brings you into the Father's presence. When you come home to the Father, the one who made you. So Paul preached that everywhere. And he knew that the Holy Spirit was behind him, inspiring him, and would be faithful to his promise to empower and reveal in human hearts the glory and the majesty of Jesus. This is the essence of the communication of the church. The church exists to communicate this first and foremost above everything else, to communicate Christ so that your heart, my heart, by the miracle of the working of the Holy Spirit, we come to see the beauty, the majesty, the mystery, the power, the glory, and the victory of Jesus Christ. And then the glory that shines on his face, the glory of the Father, the divine life that radiates from him, from a human face, the God-man, we see our future. Humanity can pass from death to life. There's a future beyond death for the human race, but it's in a person. It's not a generic default that everybody gets. It's not something we create. It's not something we deserve. It's not something any other religious leader can produce in us and for us. Only Jesus. He's the only Son of God who took on human flesh in order to deal with the powers that are set against the human flesh, against human beings. He came to conquer it, destroy it, break its back, and to begin something entirely new for us. A whole new way of life and being, which will pass into eternity, which will lead us into an eternal life, which alone is going to fulfill the longing of your heart and mine. Because we're made for heaven. We're made to be with God in relationship to him. And all the gold and all the goods and all the stuff, the good stuff that can happen in this world, it's all going to pass away. It's limited. You're made for more. That's what Paul proclaims. And that's what the power of the Spirit then reveals in us. So Paul says, you know it in your heart by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith, that is your belief in the truth that's revealed to you, and your radical, total abandonment of your life daily in relationship to God, a surrender to him, a full surrender and trust. Paul said you're able to do that, and it becomes unshakable because it's grounded not in my eloquence or my wisdom or my popularity or my influence as a teacher and a leader, but it's rooted in the power of God. The power of God poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Friends, walk in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.